Welcome to the Conversations with Jesus podcast. I'm Johnny Lehman, a baptized man of God who has the amazing blessings of being a husband, father, and the pastor at Divine Savior Church in West Palm Beach, Florida. This podcast is designed to bring you the self-sacrificing love of Jesus found in the Bible through 15 to 20 minute episodes that focus on relevant life issues and what God has to say about them. Check out our website, DivineSaviorChurch.com, as well as our Facebook and Instagram pages if you'd like to find out more about the incredible things that God is doing through our church family. This week, we start a whole new series called Experiencing Generosity. We're going to really dive deeply into all the amazing ways that God blesses us and gives us gifts beyond number each and every day, and how that affects us and wanting to share his generous grace with the people around us. So this week, we're going to focus on this. There are two things we can focus on, what we have or what we don't have. It's going to be a lot more helpful to focus on what we have. That opens our eyes to see the amazing generosity God has shown us. He has been generous to us in his creation, in his providence, in saving us, and in having mercy on us. God is generous with us even when you don't think he is. So this week, let's stop focusing on what we don't have and give thanks for what we do have. Let's celebrate the generosity of God. That is going to be the focus of this week's podcast. Six or seven years ago, my in-laws gave me a book about Thanksgiving. It was a book designed to intentionalize thinking about God's goodness in my life by writing down one blessing a day. I thought that'd be too easy, so I made a personal challenge. I would write down one different blessing every day, no repeats. So I set out to do that, and for a good month and a half, things were flying. I thank God for my family members, friends, my job, but about halfway into month two, I hit a wall. It was all of 50 days in, and I kid you not, I remember sitting in my dorm room, paging through my book, trying to come up with a new blessing, and it took me a solid 15, 20 minutes of staring into a white concrete wall to finally come up with a blessing. And you want to know what I wrote? You're going to love this. Thank you, God, for walls. I literally thank God for the walls I've been staring at for 15 to 20 minutes. Talk about pathetic, right? God has given me more than I can begin to imagine, and I couldn't think of a 51st blessing. But I have a hunch you understand that struggle too. As Christians, we often suffer from spiritual amnesia. When we face an unknown in life, or we see a deficiency or a void, we focus so much on what we don't have, all the while forgetting what God has given us. And because of that amnesia, I'm so excited for God to spark our memory of how deep his generosity is to us, looking at Psalm 145. So the guy that God used to write the deep lyrics of this song here in Psalm 145, this guy personally experienced the deep generosity of God. We don't know when in his life David wrote this song of praise, but when you look at his life, God's generosity splashes into every memory. He was born to a family of believers, parents who brought him up to know and trust in the generous grace of God. As a boy, he learned the life of a shepherd, and God protected him from lions and bears. That's a true story. And then out of God's pure grace, he's chosen to be the next king of Israel. Totally undeserved. And then God generously gave him a shocking victory, a huge victory over Goliath. But he also knew the generosity of God's forgiveness, too. Maybe you remember last week in church, we heard about the darkest stretch of David's life. A cover-up of sexual abuse, deception, murder. But God's generous grace didn't run dry. Through his pastor, Nathan, David received the words we all long to hear, "Your sins are forgiven." I mean, David felt guilt and shame. In fact, he felt it so deeply, he described that feeling as like his bones were literally wasting away. In fact, check out some of David's 73 Psalms that he wrote, and you'll find him saying things like, "Where are you, God? Do you hear my cry, God? Do you care, God?" All these laments, seeing what he didn't have and feeling like God wasn't coming through. At times, he saw himself as a have-not. and it clouded his perspective on his true reality. He was a have-it-all because he had the Lord. But that have-not mindset isn't one that David invented. It's a mindset we so often process life through, isn't it? You and I, we read a passage like Psalm 145, verse 16. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. And if you're like me, what often comes to mind first? Well, I still don't have the savings, the retirement account I wish I had. I still haven't emotionally been able to move on from that failure, or God still hasn't given me the boldness I wish I had to live my faith. Or I feel so overwhelmed as a parent, God hasn't changed that. We see all these desires and we think, why isn't God satisfying them? It's no secret that many of us are struggling to stay above the tsunami of economic difficulties. In fact, studies have shown that more than 50% of Americans don't have enough money saved up to cover a $1,000 emergency expense. I don't know about you, but I never could have anticipated a dozen eggs costing almost $4. And maybe your budget's getting tighter and tighter, the credit card bill is growing and growing, and maybe you've thought, God, you promised to provide for me. When is that going to happen? But again, notice the mindset. It's that have-not view of life, right? And we often have a similar have-not lens when it comes to our emotional needs, too. We see an amazing verse of comfort like Psalm 145, 18, which says, the Lord is near to all those who call on Him. Or Psalm 145, 19, He hears their cry and saves them, but it doesn't feel like God is close enough to hear us. We feel that weight of emotional baggage from a recent breakup, or being single for a long time and desiring that closeness of marriage, that joy of family, or our mental health struggles are eating away at us, or we feel like our love tank is running on empty, no one filling it up, feeling rejected or lost in grief or down in guilt. We feel like I have not. And when we have that have not mentality, thinking about our physical and emotional needs, it cannot help but influence how we view our spiritual needs. Such thoughts influence us to see God as indifferent, out of touch, late, uncaring, not understanding, which of course is where Satan and our sinful flesh want us to go. That's the mindset, this have-not framework. He wants us to be locked into that so that we go to the place where Satan belongs, where we would be eternal have-nots when it comes to God's generous grace. But even in our spiritual amnesia, our generous God shows His generosity by coming near to us again and again, by satisfying our needs, even at the risk of us never recognizing that this side of heaven. You can know that God will always be generous to you. How? Because of the day He satisfied your greatest need. It was on this day that God satisfied our deepest need at the proper time. The day He opened wide His hands and satisfied the number one desire we all have. And that day was Good Friday. The day Jesus opened His hands and gave us forgiveness, satisfied our longing to have a deep bond with God, a hope that goes beyond financial challenges, a new mentality and life through faith. We are have-it-alls. We could lose our homes, our closest family, our jobs, even our own lives, but we have Jesus. And if we have Jesus, and we do, have we really lost anything? I mean, just take a minute in your head right now and think about your financial situation over the last 5 years. Maybe every single one of those days, or many of those days, you had sleepless nights, exhausting conversations with yourself, staring at your bank account statement and thinking, how will I make this work? And yet here you are 5 years later. Without you realizing it, God gave you exactly what you needed every single time. That quote-unquote random bonus at work, that quote-unquote random gift from a friend, that quote-unquote random bill that got discounted. I don't need to do air quotes for you to see none of that was random. It was the Lord giving you your daily bread. As you think about the emotional needs you are restless and trying to satisfy, think about that text from a friend that came at just the right time, you needed a pick-me-up. Think about that smile from a church member who you might not know very well, but is so happy you're there in church that day. Think of that memory of your mom or dad saying, I'm proud of you. Think of what your God wants you to never forget. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love Him. That's you. God is near you. He loves you. All these amazing examples of God's generosity stem from the place where He opened His hands and satisfied the number one desire of every living thing in all creation, to be close to God, to live in His kingdom, one that goes beyond generations, from millennials to Gen Zers to the ancients, I mean boomers. No, just kidding. That's a joke. But seriously, His kingdom will never rust or fade or decay. His promise to provide will always be true. No circumstance or need can snatch you from your Heavenly Father's hands. He has fulfilled your deepest desire. He is near you and He hears you. When you pray, you aren't talking into a void of oxygen. You have the listening ear of the God who made every cell and planet, your Savior who carried all your struggles and banished sin and death from your life forever, the Holy Spirit who grows your faith and is preparing you to come home. When you and I see that we are have it all through Jesus, life looks so very different. You start to recognize all the little gifts of God's generosity that are always around you. Instead of living the bitter and lonely life of a have-not mindset, one that we're sucked into by all kinds of media, you see and taste those hints of God's grace. You rejoice each morning you wake up because God has given you another day to serve Him. You smile when the water is hot in the shower and not an ice bath hose. You open your dresser, your fridge, and you marvel at how God used people and nature to bring you all you have. You open that Bible and are stunned that God would have all this written for you. When we have such a mindset, it completely changes how we process adversity, loss, and pain. Instead of getting sucked into dwelling on what we don't have, we let what we have shine light in our path forward. And what we have is Jesus, His Word, His grace, and His love for us. Jesus satisfied our greatest need to be at peace with God, to be in God's family. Knowing that truth, it helps put everything into perspective. When we face uncertainty and heartache, we know such things are not existential threats to us because we have Jesus. It's something God has brought us to, and He will bring us through it. Even if that means bringing us home to heaven, can we really complain about that? God kept His greatest promise to send a Savior, and we know He will keep all His other promises too. We don't get frazzled. We boldly call on God in truth. What does that mean? It means that we live with a your will be done mindset. White knuckle gripping God through the promises He's given to us and boldly praying in His name because He has promised to satisfy our needs in just the right way and at just the right time. That is peace. That is joy. That's the have it all lifestyle we have through faith in the God who gave us His own life. He gave it all so you and I could have it all. I met a pastor at this leadership conference I was at a few weeks ago, and he shared with me a story about one of his members. So he gave his church this challenge to count themselves to sleep by thinking of all the blessings God had given them that day. He said, come up with an A to Z list, apple, bagel, coffee, donut, whatever, and train your soul to see God's goodness because God is good. That was the challenge. Well, after church, one of his members came up to him and said, come up with 26 good things from A to Z? I bet I can come up with 2,600. And 2 months later, this same member comes in with a 37-page binder, tiny font, single-spaced, of 2,600 different blessings. But the coolest part wasn't that he accomplished that. But after that, after he finished it, he said, it changed my life. Made him think about Jesus and all the many blessings that God gives to us each day. Now, you can call me a plagiarizer, if that's even a word, but how about we give ourselves that same challenge? Over the next week, try to count all the good things God gives you each day, the things God has given you in your life, no matter how big or small, and just see how big that number grows to. Let's focus on the generosity of God, His truly amazing grace, this thanks-living lifestyle, as we think about His nail-pierced hands. Those nail-pierced hands that opened, and they opened our hearts, and they satisfy all of our needs. We truly do have it all. because we have Jesus. That is God's generosity at its deepest. Amen. I'm excited for you to really engage in thinking about God's great generosity to you. Let me know what you come up with as far as your blessings. If you want to shoot me an email, I would love that. My email is johnny.layman@divinesaviorchurch.com. Let's live with that have it all mindset, thinking about God's amazing grace that envelops everything we do. God bless you as you live for Him this week and always.